I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Michael Legg.
Comedian, writer, stand-up, blogger, comic, wordsmith, funny man, penman, at-seat trolley service, free Wi-Fi, accessible toilet. Michael Legg, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm looking forward to it. Are you up to much at the moment? What have you been up to?
Well, I'm writing a book.
Is it a misguided children's book?
Yes, for misguided children everywhere, hopefully. They always end up around my place, and I get into such terrible bother, so I thought, must write a book for them. It's called Get the Fuck Out of My House by David Walliams.
Now, is that a little... Is that a little comedian's trick for making a bit more money? Is that you're going to sell more?
Well, for making money?
Yes.
I don't know about a bit more. It's how we make money in the comedy business. We write books for children.
Right, yes. And write David Walliams on the front.
We write David Walliams.
It's why there's so many, because from what I hear, every comedian is doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hosted The Nightly Show for a week saying I was David Walliams. And I just got, they didn't question it. People see David Walliams like, oh, he's on everything. He's not. He's barely worked in years. But if you go up and go, hello, I'm David Walliams, can I be in your thing? They go, oh, well, fine, you're David Walliams. You know, because nobody really likes looking at him.
No. I know I don't.
Yeah, it's like looking at the sun, you know. After a while, you just want to punch its fucking face in.
And you get its print on your fingers.
Yeah.
Now, you are going to hate me for this, but I thought we would... we should probably, shoot the elephant in the room up top to get it out of the way.
Well, I'm vegan. That's really upsetting.
I'm sorry. We should hug the elephant in the room and give it some couscous right up top. Would you do your catchphrase for us?
Wow. I mean, it's... Listen, I'm not just a catchphrase, though.
I know. Okay. I know, you are two or three more things.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, it came from a good place. I mean, you started out with good intentions with it. I mean, it's on T-shirts now, It's carved on the moon, and, there's no going back from that. But
all right.
People like it. It brings people so much happiness.
If we can get it over with,
yes,
then...
That was my intention,
Fine for you lot. Okay. Even when I was over there, people were saying it to me, and I had to do the...
Yeah.
But here we go. Hey! Leave that albatross alone! My grandmother gave me that in a deathbed!
Thank you.
It's fine.
Do you ever wish you'd picked a shorter one?
As a stand-up comic working at a lot of jonglers' venues, whatever takes up time, brilliant.
Of course. You probably get asked this a lot as well, but who do you get your ideas from?
Well, whatever is around me, David. That's where I get all my ideas from. No, normally what is around me, though, is closed curtains, the late afternoon, Netflix, come.
And so much from cum, those so base much elements, cum, you produce
sticking
the alchemy
to my belly hair
of comedy.
And then I brush them out and I go out and I get on that stage.
Do your hands often still smell of comedy as you mount the
stage? Yeah. Mm. I reek of comedy. I mean, if one was to put one's nose to my belly button.
We'll leave that there. How much laughter do you think you have produced in total?
I think a pint, about an armful.
That's quite a lot.
That is quite a lot.
It would be a heady brew to drink down.
Absolutely. I mean, chokingly disgusting brew. Yeah, it's a really interesting question because I've made a lot of laughter over the years, and I think when I went to Auschwitz and I looked at that ton of human hair, I thought, one day I'm going to beat that.
It's good to have a dream.
But with laughter instead of dead people's hair.
Yeah. And in many ways, that's where the Nazis went wrong.
Yeah. But you can see where Junglers got the idea from.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you grew up in Northern Ireland.
Yes, which is just north of Southern Ireland, if you've ever been. Just off the coast of the Isle of Man.
Ah, yes. Yes. Yes, I know it. I know it from people who live there.
Yeah. From America.
That's right, yes. When did you first realise, being a small boy, I assume you were small, being a small boy in Northern Ireland, when did you first realise that you were really, really funny?
I think probably at church. I think there's something very, very, very comedic, naturally comedic about Catholicism. We're naturally good at burning things down or blowing things up.
Yes.
Or blaming other people for things that blew up or burnt down.
And these are all the hallmarks of a good comedian, do you think?
Well, I think when you start out, you've got to just try whatever you can.
Yes.
And in many ways, during my early days as a comedian or campaign on the mainland, I was basically a prop comic.
Right. Yes.
I would go around with my bag, I'd leave it in a pub. And you know what? I got a lot of telly from that.
Yeah, well, you would. I mean, it was a scourge of prop comedy in the 1980s that meant there were no bins in stations. But
yeah,
you know what? That was just leave sombreros and
that
enormous
was such
scimitars in
a
there.
Wise move by the British people to remove bins from trains. It's so much harder to plant a bomb when you've got an empty Coke can in your hand.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. But if we could go back to the beginning of your career, you started out in an improv troupe called Nervously Bellowing Over the Woman.
I was in strip clubs before that.
Oh,
why
of course,
are you bringing
of course,
up the horrible
sorry,
part?
Well, let's go back to the.
Come on, we've moved on.
Okay.
And that was a dirty trick.
I'm sorry. That was mean of me. I'm sorry. So to the strip clubs then.
Thank you. Well, I worked in a club called Strip Prov, where we would ask the audience for a reason for me to take my clothes off.
And predictably, they'd shout porn. And,
Napoleon.
Yeah.
Contact lens.
Spatula.
Yeah. And also, they'd scream, please never take your clothes off. Mm.
Lots of coach trips, was it?
Yeah, a lot.
Yes. Mm.
I took a lot of coach trips.
Eventually, you left improv behind.
Yes, it couldn't wait.
Yes. And you actually, I'm consulting my notes, you joined a sketch group called People Now in Adverts. What was that at the beginning? How did you all meet?
Well, at the Phoenix Club.
Of course, yeah.
Not the Phoenix we're in, the Phoenix Club. That's where everyone meets. I mean, it's really, it's great.
And of course, you just found each other so humorous?
Well, it's a heavy word to use, isn't it?
Yes.
There.
So present.
Present. The same desperation, sadness, and fuck it, you know, we've both got genitals, we might hit them.
Against each other? Or
no, we might hit just our own genitals in front of one another.
And I suppose that's something to look forward to, in a way.
Well, it's anything to avoid the writing.
Because there's usually rather an imbalance with the writing in any sketch troupe.
Oh, God, absolutely right. God.
Were you the writer, or were you...
No, fuck off.
No.
No, 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 no. We all, I mean, especially in ads, as we shorten it to.
Yeah, yes. No one joined in, of course.
No, but... no, no. I mean, we give all the writing work to Stephen Merchant.
Right, yes. Where is he now?
Yeah.
You know. Who were the other members now, actually? I'm trying to recall.
Charlie Sofa. Obviously.
You. Stephen Merchant.
Deborah Feminist. She went on to make a very popular flag at a march.
Of course there was that. There was that sketch that you and Deborah Feminist did, famously, that
yes.
Quite weirdly, you won the Royal Variety Performance. How did that come about, for starters?
Well, the thing is, if in comedy, especially when you're starting out, if you're offered a gig, you accept it. I mean, we gigged at the Guilty Pea. We gigged at every small venue that we possibly could. And you know what? We worked hard. And my number is very, very close to the same phone number as one of the guys from The Noise Next Door.
This is how you make your break.
We nailed it!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could we recreate that sketch you did at the Royal Variety Performance? I mean, I remember all the words. I mean, not if there's too many bad memories associated. I know that everyone else from the troupe died shortly after.
And it was just me and Deborah Feminist. So
yeah. There
she was, choking on that stage, putting the finishing touches to her flag.
I hadn't realised she'd started 4 years previously. That's probably why it was such a good flag.
It's a really good
really
flag.
Really good flag. I mean,
really
I don't know
flag.
If you guys have...
You can't knock the flag. You can't knock the flag.
You can't knock the flag. If you guys have ever seen flags, I mean, this was a real corker. I mean, there were lines and colours. Was there a word? I think there was a word on it.
Tits.
So that sketch. Are you keen or...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or shall we move
well,
on?
Well, I mean, my mind's rusty.
Sure,
but if
well,
you...
I'm sure the audience will be able to remind
that,
you of the
that
words.
That is true, that is true.
I mean, it was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Didn't Bill Oddie call it Next? I think he called it on
yeah,
the night.
He shouted Next.
He said
yeah.
Next!
Yeah.
Yes, 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 and he died shortly after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if we're going to fucking do it, let's all right. do it. Let's...
All right. Yeah. I can't believe I'm getting to do this. This is fun. Come in.
Oh, you put on hair.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, mumsen, I don't remember you being as hairy as that this morning.
Oh, the cheek of it.
And that was the sketch.
That was the sketch. I mean, they don't make them like that anymore.
No, and the thing is, at the time...
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah. Yes, if you're around in those days, that was good at the time. That was good at the time.
That was as good as it got at the time.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, you had lab coats.
Lab coats, yeah.
You had comedy glasses.
Crazy glasses with those little hats with a propeller.
You had 50 or 60 other members in your troupe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wonderful
it
stuff.
It was the camaraderie.
Yes.
That's what was missing.
Yes. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that why you then decided to go it alone? And move into stand-up comedy?
It was a mutual decision. from everyone.
Are the ads still around, or have they all gone their separate ways?
Well, Steve left.
Yes.
He went. He was the only other solo performer.
Right.
He left to do some stand-up and some TV and Logan.
Which he was plugging at for years, wasn't he?
Oh my God. I remember seeing him do Logan at the Tutton Shive in 1998.
And I remember I saw it too, because he would white up before every performance and it took him hours.
Here, what are you doing with those big claws, you big booger? Mate, we don't get the reference.
No. No, it wasn't until he hooked up with Peter Jackson that Hugh Jackson, sorry.
No, even Hugh Jackson isn't a man either.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That's the one.
No, it wasn't until he teamed up with Peter Jackson that he finally got The Office
in many ways. In many ways.
The original cut of The Office is fucking long. 4 hours.
4 hours. 4 hours, but it cuts down to a very good 2 series
really
and a Christmas special, doesn't it?
Really great.
Which fans have done online, if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
If you want to see The Office cut down to 12 half hours. I mean, so, I never thought it could be done. But
So Steve left, I left.
Yes.
You know, as soon as he did. I mean, you know, we knew where we were going. The others, of course, formed Steps. And you can actually walk on them right now.
Where are those steps?
Just by Waterloo Bridge. They've actually improvised, true to their form, improvised the steps that Nancy fell down in Oliver Twist.
Before her tragic and untimely death, of course.
Oh, no, it was timely. It was right in the right part of the book.
Oh, you're right. It was.
Yeah. It was written, mate.
No, you're quite right.
If you had put it in, like, later, wouldn't have made any sense.
Yeah. After the book's ended, it's quite difficult. You just slip it into a couple of books down on your shelf.
If Dickens had put out a book, like, a few months later that was really, really thin, went, oh, shit, I forgot to say. Nancy's dead.
Bang! Nancy died. Anyway, Martin Chuzzlewit. No, quite right. Quite right. And if she died as soon as she'd walked in, that would have been equally confusing.
She's got to be one of the most timely deaths of all time. It was right there in the book.
Mm.
Nailed it! And there they are, the ads. You probably walked up and down them yourselves. Imagining Nancy dying.
Well, I'm not confused. And do you remember? Because stand-up
chalk hearts melting on a playground wall. Sorry.
That was going to be my question, yes. Okay. Do you remember that?
I remember chalk arts messing on a playground wall, yeah. But no one got the reference, so let's move on.
Let's move on. It is stand-up that you are known for these days, of course. Do you remember the first joke you ever wrote?
Yes, I do. I remember it incredibly well.
Let's move on. And what's been your worst gig, would you say? Because every stand-up I've met has a story about a real stinker, you know?
Well, it's either the Chuckling Armpit in Amersham.
Oh,
that was awful.
Yeah.
Or supporting Led Zeppelin at the O2 for 3 months in a row. I have to say, it was one of the most ridiculous bookings.
It could have gone okay, actually, if anyone had been told you were going to be doing that.
Yes. Do you know what? The amount of jongleurs gigs that I've done, I'm really good at dealing with heckles, but I don't know what to do when a heckler just goes, "Stay away!"
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
And especially when he's then joined by 20,000 other people.
Yeah.
All shouting "Stay away!" at him.
Yeah. And there was this... Like, he was old, but he was all hairy, and he was right beside me going, "We'll do Stairway in a minute once this cunt shuts up." And I was like, what are you talking about?
Oh, they were on stage for the entire time.
It was a terribly planned gig.
Sounds awful. Yeah. But you bounced back, of course. You recovered from that.
Of course I did. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you should never mourn a gig. You always laugh it off.
Is that right? You always laugh it off?
Yeah, and let's face it, at £50 a night... I think I had the last laugh.
Well, Michael, if we could get serious for a moment. We've had a lot of fun, I think you'll agree. Everyone wants to know, really, what's inside you?
Okay.
And the best way I know how to ask that is Charlie Chaplin once said that life is a tragedy when seen in close-up. But a comedy is long shot. Michael, why are you standing so far away?
Well, in many ways, that's a great question. Thank you so much for asking it.
Well, and I know you don't like to talk about yourself, so...
I do not like to talk about myself at all. But I'm here.
And you've been bugging me for weeks about this, actually.
Yeah, thank you, finally, for returning the call.
You're welcome.
The reason I am so far away, and that's a good point, I am an observational comedian. Comedian. I observe comedians.
Comedians, yes.
And I find the further I am away from them...
Yes...
the less my ulcer upsets me.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It certainly explains why people buy tickets for the O2.
Ticket sales have really dropped since I supported Led Zeppelin while they were on stage.
Yes, I can understand that. I can. I mean, from both points of view. I mean, it's really tough for you, but for those guys, whew.
And the thing is, they're trying to get revenge on me, Led Zeppelin, right?
Right.
Right? I did the Deaf Panda in Hove. Fuck it. Does it matter? It doesn't exist. Fuck off. Right? I did.
Not anymore. It closed down.
Yeah. It doesn't exist. Don't go looking for it. And Led Zeppelin went, right, how do you think you'll like it if we turn up and do a gig while you're on? Well, last laugh, because the audience had a brilliant time. Could not believe their luck.
We are coming to a close on this particular sphincter of interest. But Michael, I've often heard that comedy could be diluted down to the simple placing of one thing humorously juxtaposed with another. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I wasn't listening. What did you say? What did you... I heard the word juxtaposition and I thought I'm in trouble here.
Oh, right. Okay. It basically means putting next to. So, for instance, you juxtapose your shoes when you take them off.
Yes.
And when you wear them.
Sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah.
trees falling.
Now we've got this one.
Juxtaposing shoes. Yeah.
Fuck. God, we're all so insignificant, aren't we?
We are. We are.
Comedians.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was hoping, if you wouldn't mind, that I could tell you some just random things and you could tell me the funniest thing to put next to them. Just from your years of experience, if that's all right. So I've started simple. A red horse.
Oh, wow. What about a 12-man? I don't know what it means. But it is,
but
a
they liked it.
They didn't. They were frightened.
They were. But isn't that the same thing?
I know the difference.
Yes.
Between warmth and Stockholm syndrome.
How long did it take you to differentiate between the two?
When I got off stage and saw another comedian go up.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes. Well, we'll try another one. We'll try another one. I'll find a simpler one. A glass of milk.
Don't kill me.
A woman.
It's nice, isn't it?
A man.
Why are you shouting, Dad? I didn't mean to.
And a gun.
Oh. You don't need to shout to your Dad.
Michael Legg, thank you for letting me inside you.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you'd like to donate towards our running costs, please don't worry, my children already eat very, very well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.